from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad. And why am I happy? Because it's a gloriously sunny day, the sun is out, and as the research says the other day, just go on to Facebook or Twitter or something and say, it's a wonderful day, and everybody will be happy.
And that's true.
And funnily enough,
it works. It's a bit dark here, isn't it, H?
Well, that's because it's night time.
is that what it is?
But it's daytime somewhere else.
It's daytime where you are.
That's the strangeness of this world, isn't it? Yeah. It's dark here, but other parts of the world, it's daytime.
But Lee, it's always dark where you are.
It's because I'm from the dark side.
Yeah, we know that.
I'm a dark side.
So you're Darth Lee.
He's Darth Lee.
Yes, Darth Lee. Anyway, move on. A marine biologist has discovered that in Kent in the UK, a goldfish, which is over a foot long, lives in Folkestone.
Yes.
I wonder what scale they've measured that on.
No.
I'm sorry. It's just a
You know what, question. Uncle Lee? I just fell for that hook, line, and sinker.
Steady, I'll net another one. The fish is over 1 foot 3 inches long, which in proper money is 38 centimetres long. Jesus, and it weighs over...
That's massive.
It is enormous. Apparently, Ada Shaw, who's 83 years old, bought Goldie the goldfish for 99 pence 15 years ago. And she's kept
That's
it...
Amazing.
And she does admit that maybe she overfeeds it a bit. Well, you can't actually overfeed a goldfish.
No, what's she feeding it, though? Like, is she feeding it goldfish steroids?
It must be.
Or gentleman sausages.
mystery solved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Anyway, there's several people claiming it's the largest goldfish in Britain and the second largest in the world. And apparently there's one in the Netherlands, 48 centimetres long.
Freak fish.
48 centimetres long in the Netherlands.
That's ridiculous.
It's quite a surprise.
Do you know what blows my mind, though, is that they last that long?
Yeah, because normally mine die.
Yeah, mine die within about a week.
Yeah, well, that's what you do, isn't it? Basically, what you do is you buy a goldfish to flush it down the loo. I think that's where they live. They live in the loo.
You're right.
That's why you have to chuck them down there when you buy them.
Oh, dear. Anyway, we move on. The hate campaign towards Tony Hall, the Director General of the BBC, seems to be growing monumentally because a gentleman actually started a campaign at change.org in the UK, and believe it or not, 250,000 people have signed up to this petition already. Tony Hall, take note. And there's a huge letter that he's put together, this gentleman, asking Tony Hall to reconsider the plan to axe BBC Three next year. Now, all I'm going to say to you is he won't. Tony Hall won't make the difference because he doesn't understand what young people want. He would much rather have the ballot on there 24/7.
Yes,
he'd have
wrong
boys in tights.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, that's all right. He can put it on another channel that nobody... Why don't he put that on the internet?
Well, the thing is, really, you've got to accept that BBC Three actually was quite groundbreaking for the BBC. Instead of it being arrant, anodyne nonsense like the rest of the BBC...
Like BBC Four.
Tried to do some... Pardon?
Like BBC Four.
Yeah, exactly. But, BBC Four is a different thing. There are some good, different, small sort of listenership channels for the BBC now and viewership, which actually do some goodness. And what happened with the BBC, this is just exactly what's happened with the rest of the BBC. They've seen that they're actually doing something good and people are getting interested in it. Remember, this is where Little Britain came from. Mm-hmm. And now, because it's good, because it's interesting... They're axing it. Well, everybody should contact them and say, don't be so ridiculous.
And there's another technical problem here, Lee.
What's that?
There is one fundamental problem with streaming a TV channel on the internet as opposed to sending it through your aerial that is so obvious that I don't understand why the Director General of the BBC, unless he's some kind of technophobic person or just a plain numpty, would ever do this for. Because as the viewership goes up on the internet, you pay more and more money for the bandwidth you're using, even if you're the BBC. So in actual fact, if he's on about saving money, it's ludicrous because he's got a fixed cost when transmitting through the aerial, and yet he's got a variable cost, which will increase by streaming it on the web. It's not going to save money, Tony Hall.
He's trying to save money the expensive way.
Yes. He's been to one of those companies that lend you money at like 2,000% interest.
Yeah, and say, don't worry, no rejections.
No worries at all, dear boys. Tony Hall, go away. Go back to your silly dancing fairies and plums and stuff. And why don't they?
You can't say that.
Why?
He means the Nutcracker at ballet, don't you, Uncle?
No, what they should do, Lee, is put a broadcast person in charge of the BBC, not some la-di-da bloke.
That'd make the BBC work properly, and we don't want that in Britain, do we?
Well,
we don't want our national broadcasting organisation to actually do something proper. Get lost.
All right, then. Okay, well, anyway, we strongly urge you to join this campaign, as we think it's a wonderful idea. If you look around Facebook, you will find it. It's the petition to the BBC Trust, Save BBC Three. If you put just to the BBC Trust, Save BBC Three in Google, you'll find it. Sign up for it and help us prove that Tony Hall is on a different planet to the rest of the universe. And that'll be the easy way.
Seriously, ladies and gentlemen, do it.
Do it. Sir Tim Berners-Lee, we are not worthy, we are not worthy, we are not worthy. Sir Tim Berners-Lee wants to have a World Wide Web Bill of Rights. And you try saying that after a mouthful of coffee. It's hard. The inventor
just comes out fast, doesn't it?
Yeah. If you don't know who he is, and if you don't know who he is, I'm going to speak to you. The inventor of the World Wide Web, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, has marked the 25th anniversary of its creation, which he did, by calling for a Magna Carta-style Bill of Rights to protect its users. Do you know what? I kind of agree with him.
Can I just ask a question before we continue?
Yeah.
Who's Sir Tim Berners-Lee then?
Shall I switch him off now or later?
Yeah, just switch him off.
You said that you'd tell people off if they didn't. I know exactly who he is, and I agree with
you. Little fibber.
You wanted to be told off.
I will. I've not been told off since I've been in Australia, you know. I think that's amazing.
Isn't it? I'm going to be nice to him.
Wait for it.
Yeah, he's going to come along the lines. So Tim, I totally agree. I really do agree. There should be some logical Magna Carta for the internet that works on both sides of the street. Yep. Have your freedom.
I agree.
Have your freedom of speech opportunity. Absolutely. But equally, have the redress for liars.
But isn't it interesting that it takes the inventor of the internet to be the man who finally stands up and says, this whole internet business is going wrong. We need the equivalent of a Magna Carta to actually control it. And it's a funny thing, isn't it, Rachel? In the last 5 years that Eric and I have been doing this show, and in the last couple that you've been doing it with us, Eric is the one who stood up for the complete freedom, abandonment of any rules on the internet.
No!
Me and ultimately you, who have said that the internet needs controlling, and it takes the man who invented it to see the downfall of his invention, stand up and say, let's do something sensible.
I don't.
I agree with him, and I think his vision originally, he didn't picture that this would occur, all these, you know, spies coming out and doing what they're doing and people just blatantly lying all over it and whatnot. I think he had a purer vision than that. And if he has an idea how to get back on track, then I'm all for it.
I agree.
I think we should back him as well. I think we should get in touch with him.
I think we will. Tim actually said, I don't have a lot of sympathy with people who say...
Ooh, Rachel, here, he's called Tim now.
There's so much rubbish on the web. Well, says Tim, if there's so much rubbish, if it's rubbish, don't read it. Go somewhere else. Exactly the same rules as listening to the radio.
Well, they're watching the television, you know, vote with your remote business. It's the same with the internet. Vote with your clicker, vote with your mouse.
Exactly.
Well, the simple fact is people don't, and unfortunately something like the internet needs controlling because of the ultimate dangers. See, last week you were saying that I said that the television was worse than the internet for bringing dangers to the world, and you said it wasn't, and now you say all you got to do is switch it off like the telly. You can't have it both ways.
We can.
Sure you can.
And you got that in stereo as well. Absolutely. Anyway, if you'd like to make your voice heard with Sir Tim Berners-Lee, his foundation, for the World Wide Web. The web address actually is a simple one. https://webwewant.org. Let's get it right. Webwewant.org. And if you look it up on your search engine, we'll give Bing a plug this time. Put it into Bing. Webwewant.org. And that'll give you access to Sir Tim Berners-Lee World Wide Web Foundation, which has been... pontificating about all this lot because it's the 25th anniversary. And I think you're right, Rach. When he first invented it, I don't think he was at the tip of the iceberg as to what it was going to be.
No,
he had no idea what it would become.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Isn't it funny that he's called his site or his organisation as the Web We Want? Because actually, the majority of people have got the web they want. It's opened up it's given them all freedom to say heinous things that they think are true and should be said about other people. It's opened this incredible world of pornography to the world. It's done all sorts of terrible things, and I don't think it is the web we want. I think it's the web we should have.
Okay.
We should be going for the web that we should have, which is controlled and published properly with certain rules put into place.
That's going to cause some more upsets. Anyway, I like the next story purely because...
It's because you like him.
No. apparently, a high school intercom in the US will start blasting Justin Bieber songs until students raise... $500, so help them out, please help them out, for orphans in Ghana. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those sort of campus stunts, and they've come up with it. And one bloke's already said, one of the students, he said, I'm pretty sure I've already had to take 5 ibuprofen already. Short-term pain,
long-term gain.
Exactly.
It's a great story. It's I mean, we all know that he's certainly... not polarizing much of anything these days except for the tabloids. And even if you get to that story a little bit down the track of who's the top earner, he's not even on the top 10 anymore. So,
no.
I mean, people have gone right off him, and it's now more of a, he's more of a public service announcement about, you know, how, what not to do. And his music is really irritating, but I think that's a great idea, and it's brilliant to raise it, to have another, you know, a different way to raise money. But I think it, additionally to this, they should play it in hospital or emergency rooms or poisons information where, you know, induced vomiting is required and things like that. You could actually take this to a whole new level.
Thank you, Rach. Here comes more...
Sorry, I was just going to say, what do you think, though? Justin Bieber, really, like you say, he doesn't have the pull that he used to have, but he's the new Shirley Temple, isn't he? He's the
Here we go again.
But he's not.
No.
That is absolute rot.
He's the biggest gentleman sausage in show business.
Yeah, I'll tell you what,
the,
Lee.
He's got the curls.
You got one problem, mate. I hate this because I hate it when people do it to me. But you're out of the UK now, Lee.
Yeah.
And therefore you won't have heard the news that starring at one of the stars at the Summertime Ball in London by a well-known radio station is going to be none other than Justin Bieber, and the girls are all terribly screamy on the radio when they win tickets to go see him.
Well, I get terribly screamy as well when Justin Bieber comes on the radio.
Anyway.
It's a whole different kind of screamy.
I think this is where we go pot calling kettle black as Zuckerberg calls Obama. He's actually got the cheek to call President Obama because of the NSA spying, allegedly, on what Facebook's doing. Now, hang on a minute. Whoa, stop the presses. Facebook's a company.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the law. It is not the rule of anybody else. It's not voted for in any kind of election or anything like that. And whilst I agree with some of the principles that Mark Zuckerberg's got, i.e., you know, the internet is a great place to make contacts, communicate with people, and so on and so forth, it's not above the government.
No, it's not.
Of course it isn't. No.
I mean,
for the fact that... I think if you look at Facebook, as far as I'm concerned, that's the biggest spy in the world.
Well, it's not.
It's
not.
Well, it is really, isn't it?
If you sign up to Facebook, it gives you the options that you can go for, and it's a commercial entity like anything else, and somewhere along the line they're going to want to get their money back. Makes sense. So therefore, if you get in free, or you could have a paid for Facebook where you pay a monthly fee. You get exactly the same services, but they don't touch it
without
the ads and all the other data, and there'd be at least one person joining the world.
I think the point you're making has an element of sense to it, until you add into the fact that as a commercial concern, it is using your pictures to advertise products on its space, and actually giving you nothing back in return other than a massive invasion of your privacy to actually make itself money. I think that's where, well, it is, isn't it? Of course it is. It's selling products by using pictures of your children and your grandmother.
No. I get free communication with my family members 24/7, and you don't charge me a penny. Thank you very much. The only person that loses out is the telecoms.
Yeah. I don't communicate with anybody other than people who are very far, far away, and I can't. But I find it difficult to catch on the phone, or they're not available when I'm. Or like with you guys, for example, we're in completely different time zones, so it's the easiest way to catch up. It really is. I leave a message, I know you're going to get it, and well, not with you, Lee. I give you an email because you know you don't like Facebook very much.
He's just a wimp.
I've grown up, Rachel.
No, it's because he can never remember his password. That's why.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah.
This is the same thing as the internet generally, because it is a good thing. Facebook, when it first it's ugly.
No. He's gone again, isn't
he? Was a good thing. And like you say, it helped people keep in touch. And now, am I not there?
You're here now.
I wasn't saying anything, so how do you know?
There you go then, you see. But I'm going to correct you now.
Yeah, because I just like what I was saying. I bet I was there.
The fact is, when Facebook first started, it was the most aloof, almost arrogant service there was on the planet. And I've actually seen people who were there as university students in the beginning, because that's the only way you could join it, who bemoan the fact that normal people are on it, saying we should never have let the normal people on it. It should have been retained for university degree graduates only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that doesn't actually make any difference to what I was saying. What I was saying is very simply that Facebook was a power for good. it might have had its peccadillos and its attitudes which were wrong, and that wasn't because of Facebook, that was because of the people who were involved. Facebook itself was a power for good, the way the internet was. But what's happened now, it has become a leech on privacy, and it destroys people's lives. It causes people no end of problems with cyberbullying, with people being driven to kill themselves because of this organization which uses your private information for financial gain.
It doesn't use my private information.
Oh, getting away. No,
your settings are really, really strict.
Use mine now, so just show me how to avoid it.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Moving along. Morrison's, one of the big four in the UK, has lost £176 million. How could you do that, you idiots?
Where they dropped it.
I don't know.
Maybe it's in their other handbag.
Could be, which has forced them into major restructuring. And do you know what the first thing that happened when people were reporting it? They got in a consumerologist. I'm not giving them the food. I cannot believe it. If you need a consumer psychologist to help you restructure a business or even talking about it, you're dead in the water.
Absolutely. I can't agree with this. This is a terrible, hideous statement on the part of Mr. Eric Wiltshire.
Why?
Eric M. Wiltshire. You have to... because there is a science attached to buying and selling. There's always a science attached to it. And major stores use scientific methods, simple things like how you present your stores to the public.
Yes.
And the shopnologist will help you do that.
But you shouldn't read one, because the people who are in charge should know this stuff to make it work in the first place. You don't need some ologist to come in and tell you how to lay out gondolas in a shop.
Yes, but you're talking about a company that went down from a profit of $879 million a year ago to £176 million loss. And the thing is, if they're going to retarget or restructure their targets, there's only one way they can restructure their targets, and that is downward.
Well, all they've got to do is employ the right people who know what they're doing, and they don't need some sociologist.
Ologists are very good. I like ologists.
Yeah, right. anyway, we know why you've gone to Australia, Lee.
Why?
Because you can't get a job in England, and apparently Australia's economy adds 47,300 jobs in February, and that was one for Rachel.
Yeah, that's true.
So it should be 301 then.
That is, yes, it should, and I'll get on to them about that. Our unemployment rate is actually pretty good. We had a couple of months where it was a bit sluggish, and our economy did slow down a little, but it's just gone kasplat again. It's great. It's on the way back up. That's a lot of jobs considering the population of this country is only 23 million. It's good. It's good growth.
Because that's what people don't realise. Australia's population is not as big as people think it is, do they?
No, we've got a massive. We've got a massive land space that we live on, but a good chunk of that is uninhabitable desert. So everybody lives on coasts, and it's when you think of that big chunk in the middle, there's nothing there. So all these cities are all on the edges, and we're really not that big in terms of population for our land size. We're not that big at all.
Yeah. Anyway, some really interesting news this week. After 25 years, and I cannot believe what this would have done to your head. After 25 years, a guy in America from Louisiana has walked free from jail. Glenn Ford is now 64 years old. Went into prison when he was in August 1988. He'd been found guilty of killing someone, a jeweler. And people just didn't give up on this guy. And eventually, it's been overturned, and he's been released from prison. And I don't think any money on this planet could ever repay 25 years of your life.
No amount of money will get that time back. Mm-mm. And no amount of money is going to erase the emotional, psychological scars that he will have from that experience, and the ripple effect of that too. His family affected by that, and people in the public believing that he was guilty, and you know, stuff like that. It's the ramifications of it are massive, and to get it wrong, it happens more often than you think, and quite a few people have been exonerated now, but it just shouldn't happen. But I'm stoked about this, and I thought, I hope you really sue them.
Yes, I quite agree. Yeah,
because you know that was terrible. He was convicted. This gentleman's a African American fellow, and he was convicted by an all white jury, and they wanted to give him the death penalty.
Yeah, it's ridiculous,
and it was terrible. It was really terrible. But you know, it looks like he's going to get some compensation from it. But he's always got the opportunity to file civil action against whoever. So yeah. I hope he does that. I hope he gets millions.
I hope so too. Hang on, Lee. We're going to move on.
Sorry, go on.
The chief editor of a popular Russian news website, Lenta.ru, has lost her job. Why? Because she did an interview with somebody that Mr. Putin didn't like, a person who was a Ukrainian nationalist. She has been unceremoniously fired. I can only say one thing. Think about it. Somebody that didn't like Mr. Putin was interviewed on a Russian website, and the editor-in-chief is fired. Now, that's good, isn't it? Not.
Yeah.
And guess what?
Well, it's the way people want the press to be operated.
I don't think
worldwide at the moment, isn't it?
I don't think so.
If somebody writes something that people don't like, they should be sacked.
Well, yeah. I think the owner of the site has the right to, but funnily enough, this lady is being replaced by a gentleman who recently headed a very, very pro-Kremlin website. Now, please tell me there's not some...
There's too much coincidence there. That's too much of a coincidence. It's too much to be a coincidence.
Indeed. And we're going to finish on a lovely, well, very quickly. You probably noticed that Cheryl Cole's gone back to the X Factor in England. And I have to say, with 1.5 million reasons to do it, that's what her wages are going to be for the next series. But we commend Australia this week as the final story.
Yes.
We commend them well. Good on you. The Aussie Foreign Ministry has said there is no great demand to change the Australian flag, unlike New Zealand, who wants to get rid of all the Union Jack bits on it. Whereas the Australians are going, nah, we don't need to do that, do we, Rach?
No, we don't need to do that. We're proud of where we came from. And I know that there's a whole Indigenous argument as well. Mm. But we do also have the Aboriginal flag, the Indigenous flag. Mm. And I think they can live in tandem together, but not keep the Union Jack, keep the Southern Cross stars.
Absolutely, indeed. And with that, we've just about run out of time for another week, boys and girls. It's a shame we can't talk about different new technologies that are coming up, but we can let you know that a martial arts expert has broken a world record by cracking 155 walnuts with his head in just one minute. What a
without
nut.
Without a helmet.
Without a helmet. What a nut. Time to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Say goodbye, Lee, in Aussie style. He's gone again, isn't he?
I think we've lost him again. He's in the abyss. He's gone to the pub in Fremantle.
I think you're right. We'll see you next week, boys and girls. Take care. Bye-bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I-O.